Do you want victory? You can have it in Christ Jesus.
Time once again for Abiding in Christ with Jim Wood.
You have to step back, evaluate the various positions in light of Scripture, and then re-engage with a godly perspective.
Pastor Wood is the founder and executive director of Ware's Valley Ranch, a Christian home and school for kids from crisis situations.
Jesus said, "As the Father has loved me, so I have loved you. Abide in my love."
You can contact the program by calling 866-41-ABIDE or by visiting us on the web at pastorwood.org. And now, here's your host, Jim Wood.
You would please open your Bibles to 1 Kings chapter 19. 1 Kings chapter 19, you will recall that Elijah had a showdown with the prophets of Baal on top of Mount Carmel, and God won. It was very, very clear to all the people that there is no contest in terms of outcome. There's no doubt, no disputing the fact that the Lord, He is God. And so after that display of God's glory as fire fell on the sacrifice and consumed it, judgment fell on the prophets of Baal and they were slaughtered before the Lord. Now, rain comes for the first time in 3.5 years. It's a clear answer to prayer and a display again of God's glory and God's mercy. And in chapter 19, we pick up a continuation of the story, the next chapter of the story. 1 Kings chapter 19, this is God's word. Ahab told Jezebel everything that Elijah had done and how he had killed all the prophets with the sword. So Jezebel sent a messenger to Elijah saying, "May the gods punish me and do so severely if I don't make your life like one of them by this time tomorrow." Then Elijah became afraid and immediately ran for his life. When he came to Beersheba that belonged to Judah, he left his servant there. But he went on a day's journey into the wilderness. He sat down under a broom tree and prayed that he might die. He said, "I've had enough. Lord, take my life, for I'm no better than my fathers." Then he lay down and slept under the broom tree. Suddenly, an angel touched him. The angel told him, "Get up and eat." Then he looked, and there at his head was a loaf of bread baked over hot stones and a jug of water. So he ate and drank and lay down again. Then the angel of the Lord returned for a second time and touched him. He said, "Get up and eat, or the journey will be too much for you." So he got up, ate, and drank. Then, on the strength from that food, he walked 40 days and 40 nights to Horeb, the mountain of God. He entered a cave there and spent the night. Suddenly, the word of the Lord came to him, and he said to him, "What are you doing here, Elijah?" He replied, "I have been very zealous for the Lord God of armies, but the Israelites have abandoned your covenant, torn down your altars, and killed your prophets with the sword. I alone am left, and they are looking for me to take my life." Then he said, "Go out and stand on the mountain in the Lord's presence." At that moment, the Lord passed by. A great and mighty wind was tearing at the mountains and was shattering cliffs before the Lord. But the Lord was not in the wind. After the wind, there was an earthquake, but the Lord was not in the earthquake. After the earthquake, there was a fire, but the Lord was not in the fire. And after the fire, there was a voice, a soft whisper. When Elijah heard it, he wrapped his face in his mantle and went out and stood at the entrance of the cave. Suddenly a voice came to him and said, "What are you doing here, Elijah?" "I have been very zealous for the Lord God of armies," he replied. "But the Israelites have abandoned your covenant, torn down your altars, and killed your prophets with the sword. I alone am left, and they're looking for me to take my life." Then the Lord said to him, "Go and return by the way you came to the wilderness of Damascus. When you arrive, you are to anoint Hazael as king over Aram. You are to anoint Jehu, son of Nimshi, as king over Israel, and Elisha, son of Shaphat, from Abel-Meholah, as prophet in your place. Then Jehu will put to death whoever escapes the sword of Hazael, and Elisha will put to death whoever escapes the sword of Jehu. But I will leave 7,000 in Israel, every knee that has not bowed to Baal, and every mouth that has not kissed him." Elijah left there and found Elisha, son of Shaphat, as he was plowing. 12 teams of oxen were in front of him, and he was with the 12th team. Elijah walked by him and threw his mantle over him. Elisha left the oxen and ran to follow Elijah and said, "Please, let me kiss my father and mother, and then I will follow you." "Go on back," he replied, "for what have I done to you?" So he turned back from following him, took the team of oxen and slaughtered them. With the oxen's wooden yoke and plow, he cooked the meat and gave it to the people, and they ate. Then he left, followed Elijah, and served him. May God add his blessing to this reading from his holy and inspired word. There are a number of points that we hopefully will see in this passage, but there is a question that God asked Elijah twice, and we need to pay attention to that question. The question that God asked is, "What are you doing here? What are you doing here, Elijah?" Now, why would God ask a question like that? First of all, God doesn't ask questions because he needs information. Okay? God knows everything. And yet, all the way back at the beginning of human history, when Adam and Eve had sinned, and God came to talk to them in the garden, and they tried to hide themselves, God didn't say, "You're stupid. I know everything. I know where you are." Instead, God said, "Where are you, man? Where are you, Adam?" God asks us questions because we need to process the answer. Jesus often responded to questions with questions. Jesus often asked questions of his listeners. What does it profit a man if he gains the whole world and loses his soul? So here in this passage, God asks Elijah, "What are you doing here? What are you doing here?" If you go back and you look at the story of Elijah, beginning back in chapter 17, this question makes even more sense and has even more of an impact. Look at chapter 17, where we're introduced to Elijah the Tishbite. Verse 2, "Then the word of the Lord came to him, 'Leave here, turn eastward, and hide at the Wadi Cherith where it enters the Jordan.'" Verse 5, "So he proceeded to do what the Lord commanded. Elijah left and lived at the Wadi Cherith where it enters the Jordan." Verse 8, "Then the word of the Lord came to him, 'Get up, go to Zarephath that belongs to Sidon, and stay there.'" Verse 10, "So Elijah got up and went to Zarephath." Chapter 18, verse 1, "After a long time, the word of the Lord came to Elijah in the third year, 'Go and present yourself to Ahab.'" Verse 2, "So Elijah went to present himself to Ahab." Verse 46 of chapter 18, the power of the Lord was on Elijah, and he tucked his mantle under his belt and ran ahead of Ahab to the entrance of Jezreel. But what happens in chapter 19? In chapter 19, verse 3, then Elijah became afraid and immediately ran for his life. Why are you here, Elijah? Well, it's because he got scared and ran. It wasn't because God told him to go there. He was running for his life. Now, I'm always interested in how things like this come about, because if you notice, after he had run away because he feared for his life, what was his prayer to the Lord? In verse 3, it says he became afraid and ran for his life. And when he came to Beersheba that belonged to Judah, he left his servant there, but went on a day's journey into the wilderness, sat down under a broom tree, and prayed that he might die. Oh, God, I don't want to live anymore. Well, then why didn't you just stay back there? There was a sign out in front of a church near our home in Atlanta. It said, everybody wants to go to heaven, but nobody wants to have to die to get there. There's a lot of truth to that. We are conflicted. Elijah, hearing Jezebel's threat that she was going to kill him within 24 hours, ran for his life. And then when he finally got far enough away, he sat down and prayed that God would take his life. When fear is in control, there's a lot of internal conflict. And we may not really want to die, but we really don't want to live. We're really not prepared because our focus is on the wrong thing. We're worried about what's going to happen to us instead of having the focus that Elijah had had for years, and that was the Lord before whom I stand, the Lord that I wait on, the Lord whom I serve. If your focus is on, Lord, what would you have me do? You're going to live by faith and not by fear. But if your focus is on what might happen to you, you're going to be very conflicted.
Thank you for listening to Abiding in Christ with Pastor Jim Wood.
Pastor Wood is a popular speaker for family and marriage retreats, conferences, and pro-life fundraisers. If you are planning an event, a retreat, or conference and would like to invite Pastor Wood to speak or teach, please visit pastorwood.org and fill out our speaker request form. At this site, you will also find over a dozen books authored by Pastor Wood and his wife, Susan. Again, please visit pastorwood.org today. That's pastorwood.org.
To step out of my comfort zone into the realm of the unknown where Jesus is.
Elijah ran. And when Elijah had exerted himself in the strength of the Lord, he was more susceptible to the temptation to fear. Jesus never sinned. Jesus is absolutely perfect. But Jesus was tempted in all points just as we are. And he went through a wilderness testing. The Holy Spirit led him into the wilderness where he was tempted for 40 days. He did not eat anything during that time. But there was fatigue, weariness. And Elijah, when he's now exhausted, having been on this journey, having first done that marathon run and then running away from Jezebel, he's exhausted, he's depressed, he says, I'm no better than my fathers, and then he lay down and slept under the broom tree. He not only needed sleep, he needed something else, nutrition. Suddenly an angel touched him, and the angel told him, get up and eat. He looked, and there at his head was a loaf of bread baked over hot stones and a jug of water. So he ate and drank and lay down again. Now you'll remember his earlier diet when God was sending ravens to feed him included meat. Here, God just keeps it real simple. The staff of life, bread. What does that say about the legitimacy of carbs? Obviously, in God's plan, carbs can be a good thing. So he gets up, he eats, and he drank, and he lay down again. The angel of the Lord returned for a second time and said, get up and eat. The journey will be too much for you. So he got up, ate, and drank. And then on the strength from that food, he walked 40 days and 40 nights to Horeb, the mountain of God. He's not running anymore. He's walking. And he's walking to a place famous as a place to meet God. His goal is to meet God. That's a good thing. But even though the Lord is sustaining him in this journey, the reason he's going there is not because God sent him. He's doing something and God's supporting him in it. God's providing for him as he goes, but it's not an act of obedience on his part. He's still living in fear. And so when the Lord says to him, as he's in a cave, having spent the night, suddenly the word of the Lord came to him and said to him, what are you doing here? He replied, I've been very zealous for the Lord God of armies, but the Israelites have abandoned your covenant, torn down your altars, and killed your prophets with the sword. I alone am left. Is that true? No. Has he been told that that's not true? Yes. Has he embraced the truth about his situation? No. He still has his own view of reality that reinforces his feelings of being special. I alone am left, and they're looking for me to take my life. Why are you here? Because there are people trying to kill me. His explanation is, Lord, I'm the only guy you've got, and they're trying to kill me. That's why I'm here. So the Lord said, go out and stand on the mountain in the Lord's presence. At that moment, where is Elijah? He's in a cave. What has the Lord just told him to do? Go out there. At that moment, something happens. What is it? Now remember, you're in a cave. God has just told you to go outside. You're supposed to be in a pattern of doing what the Lord says, going where the Lord sends. At that moment, the Lord passed by. A great and mighty wind was tearing at the mountains and was shattering cliffs before the Lord. Would that make you want to leave the cave? I think I'll hang back for a while. God told me to go out there, but it's inhospitable out there. I mean, the wind is tearing at the mountain. A great and mighty wind was tearing at the mountains and was shattering cliffs before the Lord, but the Lord was not in the wind. After the wind, okay, the wind has stopped. I'm going to go out there. After the wind, there was an earthquake. No, I think I'll stay in here. He's still in the cave. After the earthquake, okay, I think the earthquake's over. I guess I need to go outside. After the earthquake, there was a fire. Did you hear that? There was a fire. I think I'll stay in the cave. And after the fire, there was a voice, a soft whisper. When Elijah heard it, he wrapped his face in his mantle and went out and stood at the entrance of the cave. That's what he was told to do to begin with. Suddenly a voice came to him and said, What are you doing here, Elijah? Why are you where you are? That is an important question to ask in life. Do you believe that you're where you're supposed to be? Are you there out of obedience? If so, that changes everything. Are you there out of disobedience? How many of you have ever been in a situation out of disobedience? Not a good place to be, is it? But sometimes we'd say, well, I really couldn't say that I'm here because of obedience, but I don't think I'm here because of disobedience either. I think I just kind of got myself in this situation myself. Yeah, it wasn't like God said, go here, and I decided, instead of going to Nineveh, I'm going to go get on a ship and go in the opposite direction. But on the other hand, I just woke up one morning and got the idea in my head, I want to go here, and I didn't even ask God. I didn't remember what God had said about what he wants me to do. I just thought this sounded like a good thing. I'll try to tell this briefly. I came home from a disappointing deacons meeting on Cape Cod one time. It wasn't a terrible deacons meeting. It was just disappointing, and I was frustrated, and I was tired. And I came home, and I told my wife, I'm tired of being the pastor. I want to go somewhere else and be an associate pastor and have a better schedule. And she said, well, where would you want to go? And I named a church in the Boston suburbs. And I said, well, there, for instance. I'd love to go there. The next day, I was contacted by that church. And they made the most amazing, appealing presentation. Apparently, they knew that their senior pastor was going to retire before long, and they wanted to bring in an associate who could be groomed to take over his spot. They knew of me, they knew of my ministry, and they wanted to see if I'd be willing to come. Clearly, this is God. So I thanked him. And God said to me, if that's what you want. And there was something in his tone of voice that made me uncomfortable. And I really felt like the Lord was saying to me, you want to go? Have a nice life. You can serve me there. I'll even bless you. But is that really what matters most to you? Or do you want to do whatever I want? Well, of course, Lord, I want to do whatever you want. I have never once regretted that decision. There's no place as wonderful as the will of God. What are you doing here, Elijah? He answered the question the same way he had before. And so the Lord said to him, go and return by the way you came to the wilderness of Damascus. When you arrive, here's what you're to do. You know what God did? He put Elijah back to work as his servant, telling him, go here, do this. And Elijah did it. I am so glad that Elijah's lapse and his journey into fear didn't disqualify him for service to the Lord. And if you have made a wrong turn in life, or if, God forbid, somewhere down the road, you start walking in fear instead of in faith. When you come to the end of yourself and you're all conflicted inside and you feel like there's no point in going on, I want you to realize something. God will give you direction and you simply need to do what he says.
You've been listening to Abiding in Christ. If you have questions that you'd like for us to tackle on the program or comments you want to make, I want to invite all of you to contact us at 866-41-ABIDE. That's our toll-free number, 866-41-ABIDE, or contact us on the web at pastorwood.org. That's pastorwood.org. www.clearsky.org.